Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt his wonderful name together. Again, I am so excited that you'll join me on today. I want you just to grab your Bible to come right on in and make yourself right at home. We have another glorious lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed on today as God give you revelation of the scripture and the word for today. So I want you to grab your Bible. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter number 13. Number 14 through verse number 19. Our lesson for today is going to be talking about the half-hearted effort. And let's take a look at the scripture on today. Now, Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joab, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance of Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrow. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite up upon the ground. And he smote twice and stayed. For the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Thou hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but twice. Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And let's take a look at Matthew chapter number 11, verses number 12. And from the days of the John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violence taketh by force. Let's take a look at our scripture on today and our lesson on today. Now, let's look. A man's search for God may be spurred by various reasons. For some, it may be intellectual quest to find answer for the origin and the purpose of life. And for others, it's a spiritual urge to find significant meaning beyond the grinds of everyday living, and normal curiosity to understand the behaviors that others have motivated some to take the quest for seeking out God. But many, like Josiah, the king of Israel, finds themselves crying out to God only when they saw no way out of a desperate situation. And you see 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 4. While every attempt to touch God should be applauded, those who seek him only as a last resort too frequently drift back into the comfortable habits of the past once that crisis has been resolved. Those who never develop a passion for the ways and things of God seem to continue to struggle to establish a lasting and a meaningful relationship with God. Never putting down deep spiritual root, they are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And you'll see that over in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse number 14. Now, those who seek to know God for the value of the relationship itself, who obey his word in good times and bad, usually develop a passion for God that casual observer can never understand. that passion compels them to follow the voice of God, even when he demands things that seem pointless or unnecessary. It is as if they, like Jeremiah, have a fire burning inside that demands them to be free and that they can shout with the prophet, "But this word was in my heart like fire, burning, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." But that passion forces entrance into the realm where service and obedience become a pathway into a holy place that's not accessible by humanity and humanly divisive things. And so in essence, it's saying through the passion that you have for God will give you access to the heavenly realms and greater understanding of the things of God, whereas human things cannot do. Now, the unattractive covering of the tabernacle Moses built during Exodus hid from the public view the colorful and exquisite furnishing reserved for the use of those who live and lives were to devote it to God's service. And likewise, carnal, natural mindset individuals can only see the mundane in the sanctified lifestyle and miss the wonder hidden inside the relationship. Lacking the passion for wholeheartedly to follow the Lord, they never find the beauty lying beneath the veil. For as the passionate Apostle Paul explained, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" And I'll say that again. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? 2 Corinthians 3:8. Now let's look further at the disturbing distraction, the things that come to distract. Now, for instance, in Elijah, ministry was remarkable in that it differed so drastically from the prophet that preceded him. Most are familiar with Elijah's request to receive a double portion of Elijah's anointing, but there was similarity between the two unusual ends. Now, while Elijah, the prophet's ministry, lasted about 15 years, by the time the king of Israel came to visit Elisha on his deathbed, the young prophet's ministry had spanned nearly 60 years. Now, Elijah's days was filled with miracles right up to the end, but when Josiah received word that the prophet was sick and came to pay his respect, more than 45 years has passed since Elijah's last recorded act of public ministry. Now, the glory days of Elijah's ministry was far past, and there would be no whirlwind or furious chariot to take him home. Matthew Henry described it well when he wrote in the commentary, "The time of Elijah's flourishing was less than the time of his living." Further looking at, let's look at the prophet's sickness when he was sick. Now, every person has an appointment with death. We'll find that over in Hebrews 9:27. While the condition promise is the same for us all, God chooses various ways to transform us there. Regardless of how it is accomplished, the passing of a child of God from this life into the next is carefully observed in heaven. Precious and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You see that over in Psalm 116:15. God chose an illness to carry his servant Elijah home. Elijah may have been one of the Old Testament heroes that the writer was thinking of whom he wrote. These all died in faith. You'll find that in Hebrews 11:13. Now, God's plan for Elijah required that he die. Not only would hit the fulfillment of Elijah's request is a double portion of Elijah's spirit occurred after he was buried, but God will use that occasion to remind the world that life is not over when we die. 2 Kings 13:21. Sickness and death are part of God's plan. As Elijah's life teaches, do not reflect on the lack of faith. Now, as Elijah endured his sickness, he never complained that God required him to suffer, but he allow Elijah to go straight into the heaven without experience death? 2 Kings 2:11. His life was God's, and he had no quarries with how God chooses to use it. His commitment was complete. Now, let's look at the king's affection. Joab, like all of the northern kingdom of Israel's king before and after him, reigned in sin and disobedience, refusing to turn from the sinful path his father has chosen. But even in his sinfulness, Joab recognized the impact of Elijah's ministry on Israel. When he learned of the prophet's sickness, Joab went to visit him. Although Elijah probably had been out of the public eye for many years, his presence remained a powerful influence over the nation. Joab recognized this, for as he stood over the ailing prophet, he realized that the connection Israel had with God was about to be severed, and the voice that had been delivered, the words of the Lord throughout his lifetime, was about to be stilled. And as he gazed into the face of Elijah, the king wept. Although Elijah never had called on Elijah for guidance, although Joab never called on Elijah for guidance or for spiritual direction, Joab understood the prophet was Israel's connection with God. Joab may have ignored God's law and instruction, but he apparently received comfort in knowing the source was available if he ever needed it. Now let's look at the victim of his grief. Grief is a process a person must move through. Without an understanding of God's eternal plan and knowledge our hearts is right in his sight, grief ends in misery. Now, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable, 1 Corinthians 15:19. Because Joab had no relationship with God, the pending death of Elijah compounded his grief. Through God's word, we understand this life is continued in the eternal one that will follow. Let us look a little further. Now, obedience to his word leads us to experience God's resurrecting power and find hope beyond this life. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, 1 Corinthians 15:54. Now, the believer's only hope, whether in this life or in eternity, is wholehearted obedience to the word of God. Lacking that, Joab had little hope to watch and to cling to, because he had not obeyed the word of the Lord our God. Now, let's look at the prophet's concern as we look at the word of the Lord here. Despite Elijah's illness, he wasted no time in self-pity. He understood his calling was unto death, and his personal circumstances, even though it was dire, not the object of his focus. The passion that burned in his young years still possessed him even as he laid at his death door. His obedience to God's word connected him with a purpose that was more significant than that the state of his health or current living condition. Now, let's take that for an example for us as the children of God, as we don't put all of our focus on the tests and trials that we're going through, but putting our focus on what God called us to do, no matter where we find ourselves at in our life, and staying focused and staying true to the work and the plan of God. Now, the wholehearted commitment to God changes one's perspective and brings things to eternal value clearly into focus. Complete commitment to the word of God removes itself from the center and places God securely in that spot around which everything else revolves. And that's critical as a child of God, that we must keep God in the center. No matter what we find ourselves going through or what problem that we're facing, we cannot focus on the problem, but focus on the God of our salvation, the God that's able to deliver, the God that's able to bring us out with his mighty outstretched hand. Now, while Joab was occupied with this grief, Elijah was burning with a word from the Lord. The king was burdened with the problem at hand and could not see that God was using this unpleasant circumstance to bring him deliverance. Joaz was so focused on the problem, he could not see the solution or the what God was doing in their life. And that's critical for us as the children of God. Focus on God. He was so focused on this problem that he couldn't understand or recognize what God was trying to do in his life. Isn't that where we find ourselves sometimes, so many times, so focused on the problem? And so get your mind off the problem and things, and put your mind on the God of salvation that is able to deliver and able to bring out and give you strategies and give you a plan on how to come out. Now, both men stood at a critical crossroads. The prophet was sick and knew his life was almost over. Israel's existence was threatened, and the king had no viable solution for the preservation. One would expect hope and encouragement to come from the younger man who had much of his life still before him and all of his country resources at his disposal. Yet the dying man was the one with the link to hope. Although death was looming over him, Elijah's commitment to God's word provided a connection with God that even sickness and death could not sever. And that's the same way with us as the children of God. Make sure your life is strong, your heart is strong with a commitment to God and God's word, and nothing can sever that, nothing can stop that. Sickness came, death came, and nothing, no weapon that will be formed against you will be able to prosper because your hope lieth in God. Now, look to the future. Without as much as a general servant, the prophet interrupted the king's weeping and demanded him to fetch a bow and some arrows. And Elijah places his hand over Josiah's, and he commanded the king to shoot an arrow towards the east, the direction from which the enemy had come. And as the arrow flew, the prophet declared, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance for Syria, for thou shalt smite Syrian in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them." That's 2 Kings 13 and 17. Now, Elijah was in his waning days of his life and ministry, yet his heart was anchored to the future. He looked forward to what God was going to do instead of wastefully recalling all of the wonderful work of God had performed in the past. The enemy had taken toll on Israel, but God had promised deliverance to his people if they were only asked. And that's the critical thing when we look at our plan of salvation. It's very critical to continue to ask God, to call upon God. And that's all he said. Deliverance is just one question away. All you have to do is ask of God, and he will turn his heart back to his people. We have to repent and things and turn back to God. Now, Josiah was one of the elements inside Elijah's house. As king, he gave little thought to the word of God, following still the path of his sinful and often evil predecessors. And now, inside a room with an ailing prophet, he was forced to reveal where his loyalty and his faith lied. He was careful to obey each instruction Elijah had gave him, but it was obvious that he was only going through the motions. As the significance of the prophet's demand, he had no clue. He was trodden in unfamiliar territory. He tried to please the man of God, but his habit of living in opposition to God's word made it impossible for Josiah to passionately embrace what Elijah was desperate to impart to him. Now, let's look at the lack of desperation. After commanding Josiah to shoot an arrow towards the east, Elijah told him to take some arrows and to strike the ground. Now, Josiah hit the ground three times and stopped. His passionateless motion angered Elijah. "Thou shouldst have smitten five or six times." And you'll see that over in 2 Kings 13, verses 19. Now, Elijah was convinced God would deliver Israel from the Syrian army. he was so intent on getting this message across to that he ignored Josiah's compliment and placed his own hands upon the king as he held the bow. Despite all of this, Josiah never grasped the intensity of the moment. Isn't it true sometimes we do not grasp the intensity of the moment when God is moving for us? He did as instructed, but was only following directions. His response was spiritless and empty. He lacked passion for the word of God and desperation for the plight of his people. To him, it was motion without meaning. And as a result, he could not connect the appropriate spiritual response to the spiritual act of obedience. And that's what happens sometimes as children of God, unless we have our whole heart, mind, and soul embracing what the word of God is requiring of us. We can allow at that moment of divine visitation to escape us because we did not put our whole heart, our whole mind and soul into what God was telling us to do as the children of God. Now, let's look at this. The enemy not eliminated. Now, with the king who had a half-hearted obedience disappointed the prophet, only because of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was Josiah granted a reprieve from his enemy. But because of his lack of passionate involvement with God's word, Israel's victory will only be temporarily. God planned it for his people to dominate their enemy. When they first entered the promised land, Joshua carefully obeyed every commandment the Lord gave. And as a result, the Israelites was well on their way to subduing all of their enemies. As Joshua grew older, he was unable to lead the tribe into battle. Nevertheless, God promised Joshua that he would drive the Israel enemies out of the land. And Joshua found such favor with God because he wholeheartedly obeyed the word of God. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Joshua and commanded Moses. Now, Joaz found it difficult to put all his effort into following the plan revealed by the prophet. He was a foreigner to God, who people he led. The mercy Joaz received was not a result of his finding favor with God, but with the residue of the relationship his forefather had forged with the Lord. Joaz's first act of obedience, shooting the arrow, brought the promise of great triumph. But when his next response to God's word was not mixed with passionate faith, the promise of total faith and total freedom from the enemy was mortified to match his faith. And how our faith responds to God's word does matter. But the word preached did not profit them, not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so here's the king, Joaz. He didn't allow his faith in God's word to be passionate, or he didn't really truly believe God for what God was telling him through the prophet. And so because of his half-hearted effort, then he only received a temporary blessing. And so it is for us as the children of God, we got to wholeheartedly believe that when we pray and when we get a word from the Lord, that we trust and believe God and put our faith around it and watch God perform it. Amen. And it's critical for us to understand that and to recognize that, that he is going to do it on behalf of his people. Now, let's look at deliverance for the wholehearted. And so wholeheartedly, he obeyed God's word. And over, characters in both the Old Testament demonstrated completeness and finality are important components in God's plan. In essence, what it's saying here is that we must have complete faith in the word of God and his final say on all circumstances and situations. And that's how we demonstrate our faith unto God, by following through on his word, by embracing his word and his promises that he's given unto us, for our children and also for our children's children, and trusting him wholeheartedly in spite of what we feel, hear, and or see. God is still yet faithful, and he's still yet on the throne, and his word, it will not return unto him void. Those actions demanded by the word of God have a specific purpose, regardless of whether we fully comprehend them or not. There is a purpose why he is saying what he's saying and doing what he's doing in and through our life. And what we as the children of God must do is obey him wholeheartedly. Now, we must stay focused. Now, at the beginning of his public ministry as a young Elijah was promised a double portion of Elijah's spirit if he saw the prophet of God being taken away. And as they kept walking together, a furious chariot swept between them and a whirlwind carried Elijah into heaven. Refusing to be sidetracked by the thought of being separated from his mentor and ignorant and knowing the distraction of the furious horses and the chariot that came between them, Elijah saw the whirlwind carrying Elijah into heaven and was able to receive the special blessing. And the reason he was, because he was steadfast, he was unmovable, he did what God told him to do, is to continue to look. Even though all of the great grandness of the chariot and the furious fire that came, and then he stayed focused, he obeyed the word of the Lord. And that's what we must do, even though we see many things that's coming upon this earth, coming upon the land, coming upon people, we have to stay focused in what thus said the Lord our God, and speak the truth in love, turning people's heart back to God, and watch God perform it according to his will. Now, further, Elijah's steadfast commitment produced a passion for God that brought eternal things clearly into focus and pushed temporal ones into the background. A half-hearted commitment, on the other hand, is like a camera that tries to focus on everything and winds up blurring everything. Nothing. When nothing is in focus, the direction is uncertain and priorities are screwed. Now, at the conclusion of Elijah's ministry, when Joash came to visit, Elijah did not allow his sickness to distract him from the message God had given him to deliver. His own comfort and well-being would be considered only after he had discharged the task that God had assigned to him. Even as he faced death, Elijah kept his heart focused on the word of God. And no matter what you're going through, stay focused on the word of God. Acting aggressively. The only portion of God's creation that will march triumphantly into eternity is his church. The heaven and the earth will fuel the fire that will destroy the ungodly in the day yet to come, when the heaven bring on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt even the fervent heat with fervent heat. John summed up the final chapter of the history of human race when he wrote, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Of all things God made that we can observe, only the church is destined to continue on into his eternal plan. Jesus declared that he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Matthew 16 and 18. This knowledge should encourage the church to boldly engage those forces that oppose its purpose. Christ was commissioned his church to evangelize the world, and he empowered believers to act on his behalf. Nothing was read of Jesus' earthly ministry or action of the first century Christians suggested that God's 21st century church should be passionate, deferring to the collective wisdom of the popular logic. Instead, his church should have the passion of Elijah, realizing that even death is no threat to the promise and the power of God. For the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violence shall take it by force. Weak and timid the tip will be unsuccessful in the church Jesus is building. The word of God frequently requires action that those unfamiliar with his method may find confusing or pointless. Just as Joash, many have felt foolish striking the ground with the arrow, we may find God's instruction to be somewhat strange and unfamiliar in a particular situation. However, we must be aggressive and unafraid to follow God outside of our comfort zone. Total victories await those who passionately interact with God's word and refuse to give up. Now, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Galatians 5 and 7. Life offered little to those who unwillingly to struggle. God's purpose and promise do not allow and apply to those who will not fight to receive them. Tenacity and determination are essential for every child of God's success. Although David was anointed king as a young man, he endured many frustrating years before assuming the throne, as well as becoming a king. His predecessors tried to kill him. His son tried to dethrone him. His wife ridiculed him. But through every experience, David remained true to his calling and his trust in the word of God. His passionate interaction with God's word is a reflection of many of his psalms that he depicted his struggle and victory. Elijah has promised a double portion of Elijah's spirit, yet more than four decades have passed since he had last ministered in the king's presence. Joash had come for his final visit only because he had heard the prophet was dying. But during those 40 quiet years, Elijah commitment remained, and his devotion to the word of God did not waver. When the time came for one's last message to Israel, the old prophet, though not out of the limelight and out of the limelight for years, he did not miss a beat. He never lost faith in God who called him. Therefore, his God never failed the one who he had called. And so in our closing today, we must recognize that God hates those that do not the lukewarm. He says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. A passionless believer simply going through the motion may be blessed because of God's covenant with his father, but he will have no spiritual heritage to pass on to his own children. At best, his victory, like Joash, will be temporarily paused in the enemy's march to a total domination. Every believer should earnestly pursue a passionate relationship with God. God will not reward half-hearted faith. But let us ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. God's blessings are reserved for those who plunge into his word, trusting God alone for the outcome. Elijah led Joash to the brink of his personal and national victory, yet the king lost both because he did not grasp the opportunity wholeheartedly. We should cultivate our faith and let it soar. Our half-hearted worship frustrates God, himself, and his ministers. When Joash shot the arrow, Elijah promised the destruction of his enemy. But when Joash responded to God's promise was passionless obedience, the prophet got angry and the king lost the total victory. Don't lose the total victory because you don't believe God totally and completely. Ask God to help thy unbelief and allow God to give you the total and complete victory that he wants to give in your life. A heart given fully to Jesus Christ leaves no room for distraction. A soul full of faith and trust have no room to harbor fear and doubt. When a person is full with the Spirit and wholeheartedly embraces his relationship with Christ, he is on the path towards a passionate victory in this life. The lesson that is reflected in the mirror of Joab's failure is the victory in Jesus Christ is as easy as obeying his word. The prescription of success for either a person or a nation is seeking the word of the Lord and obeying it wholeheartedly in earnestness and with eagerness. Instruction that may seem silly and things to the half-hearted observed could be very well the gateway to the abundant life Jesus wants us to enjoy. So no matter how it looks, hold fast and obey the word of the Lord. Stay in the word. continue to seek the whole heart, mind, and word, and soul, and things before the Lord our God, and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so when I close on today, I pray that you will wholeheartedly serve the Lord our God, his word, and the things of God, and putting it as our first priority and watching God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so in my conclusion on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your blessing. And all you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open, or whatever need to be open will be open unto you. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking God, no matter how troubling it may be, no matter how hard it is. Keep on trusting and believing God, and tell God that you trust him, that he is faithful, and he will do it on your behalf. And so until we meet again, I pray that you have been blessed on today and that the blessings of the Lord will continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God bless you. Tell somebody about home. Invite them to come and sup with us as we learn of the things of God. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.